country is becoming dangerous. This is SRN News.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded. It's time now for the Drive Home with Greg Seltz on WAVA. From the WAVA-FM Passport Auto Group Studios, today's Drive Home is made possible by our good friends at Passport Automotive Group, an outstanding group of dealerships throughout the DMV, including BMW, Infiniti, Mazda, Mini Cooper, Nissan, and Toyota. As well, they have a state-of-the-art collision center, all which are ready right now to serve your auto needs. So if you are considering the purchase of a new or certified pre-owned vehicle, Passport stands ready to meet those needs right now. You can find out more by going to PassportAuto.com. That's PassportAuto.com. And now, here's Dr. Gregory Seltz for your driving pleasure on WAVA.
And good day, Washington, D.C. This is Greg Seltz. Welcome to the Drive Home, hour number two. It's great to be here with you today on this Tuesday in April. It's a good thing that we've got tax day in the rearview mirror, right? I hope it wasn't too punitive. And it is amazing to think about how people say we all need to pay more of our fair share. It's amazing to think about there was a time when we did not pay income tax. Woodrow Wilson. Man, it's a good thing that's in the rearview mirror. I hope the rest of the year is abundant so that you can take care of your family on your own terms. Now, listen, we've been talking about the power of living by faith today. And in this hour, we want to talk about putting first things first. Now, we've talked about, you know, this week in the Word, the verse that was proclaimed this last Sunday had to do with Jesus talking about himself as the good shepherd. And he said that I have come to give you life and to give it to you to its fullest extent. You know, he never gives in pieces. He always loves lavishly, abundantly, and graciously on his terms. And so we asked the question, what makes life worth living? That's the question we talked about. And it's basic stuff, faith, relationship to God. Then the foundational relationships like family, that's where the joy is to be found. You know, I forgot to talk about that article that I had in the stack here where young people are getting sterilized in higher numbers right now, supposedly because of the overturning of Roe v. Wade. No, this notion that children are somehow a disease, that really we should just have sex with as many people as we want, and if a child gets in the way, rub him out. Where did this notion come from? Like I said before, even in my generation, I mean, 75 years ago, my parents and grandparents' generation, I mean, that's what you thought about. You got married very young. You know, if you get married young today, they almost treat it like it's a disease. But again, when you think about it, what is better than faith and family in the world? You know, we had a Bible study on Wall Street when I was serving in New York City. And a lot of people say that if you have a lot of money and you can travel and you've got your 401ks and you can retire early, that's what life is all about. Actually, it's not. There's a lot of people miserable in their leisure because they don't know what to do. They can only play golf so much. But when we were there, one of the things that even wealthy people on Wall Street were learning is that that's not what life's about. Even making lots of money has to be for a purpose. It's got to either be for family, for community. There's got to be more than just amassing stuff. I love the story that was told about a guy who was very, very, very wealthy and he wanted to take it with him. And so what he did was he liquidated all of his assets upon his death. He then said, I want to be buried in my favorite Cadillac, and I want all the money stuffed around me in the car as I'm lowered into the ground. And as they were lowering, you know, he was there behind the wheel with his money literally all around him, and the crane was lowering the car into the ground, and someone was heard saying, "Man, that's living." No, that's death. So people getting sterilized, it just shows how foolish we can be and how we just refuse to repent. We're going to live life on our own terms, no matter who it hurts, even if we start to hurt ourselves. And this is where the church has to reclaim the life message as a cultural message, not just as a biblical message. It's a biblical message. But reclaiming the notion that your life is sacred, that your life has purpose, that your life is not even your own. It's a gift from God to be used to glorify Him and to serve others in His name. That's where the purpose of life is to be found, not in just selfishly doing as you please. So we'll talk about that in the last half hour of this second hour. But faith and church, family, they matter most. Dismiss them and dismiss their importance at your peril. And actually dismiss it to our peril as a society in your unhappiness. You know, the Christian knows that government can't save us. It's just God's emergency organization for humanity because of sin. It's got a limited role. And we need more citizenship of free people, not more government programs, so we can work together in community and work in freedom. If you trust in politics, ultimately, for the big things in life, you will be disappointed. So good government can't save us. Bad government can destroy us. And so, as we've shared on this program many times, Christian citizenship is a robust thing. Christian life for the sake of culture and for the mission of the church, it's a robust thing. But before we get into all of that, I want to step back this hour and talk about how exciting it is in general to be a Christian at this time in history. And when I say that, a lot of people say, "What, are you crazy, Dr. Sells?" This is the craziest it's ever been. Well, actually, it isn't. Christians have always been people who, in the middle of whatever's going on in culture, we are those who know that we were made for just a time as this to do what? To receive the blessings that Christ has given to us, yes, but then to be those who boast about Him to others. My favorite verse is 1 Corinthians, well, it's a chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where it talks about the message of the cross. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it's written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." Now think about that, because I think that's happening right now. You know, and Paul, this is written again, "Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" We've got people claiming that they can hack their bodies and become, a man can become a woman and a woman become a man. It's foolishness. The foolishness of God, Paul says, is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. And then Paul goes on to say, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards, influential, of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world, the despised thing, and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that nobody boasts before Him. It's because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, and He has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. He's that. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." So when it comes to politics, we don't need a savior. We need someone who will do the limited government stuff we need done so we can have religious liberty, protect innocent human life, punish the bad guys, protect or at least incentivize marriage, protect parental rights, and give us the right, as always, to educate our children and the virtues we hold dear. dear. We don't even need the government to boast about Jesus. We'll do that. Believers will do that. But honor what the Bible says, that our rights come from God because he created us. So first things first, even as we are faithful in the secondary things, the faithfulness to the first things in life, no matter what. And that first thing is our faith relationship with the God who created us and who redeemed us. That's what we're going to talk about this second hour. But before we get to that, a few days ago on my way to dinner, my wife said, "Hey, honey, did you close the windows in the kitchen?" We had opened them for the cool, refreshing winds of spring. Unfortunately, on the horizon, April showers. So back to the house one last time. Why? Because April showers not only bring May flowers, they bring water damage inside your home, especially if you have leaking, aging, won't close all the way windows. So this April, if you're having a hey honey moment and it's your windows fault, then it's time to call the pros at Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you get two free. There's no limit on how much you can save. Plus, you can even save more with zero down, zero interest, and no payments for 24 months. So let the fresh air in, keep the rain, the pollen, and the pesky bugs out, and get the best windows for the best price today. So if your old finicky windows and high energy costs from this spring are cutting deep into your finances, don't miss out. Call Window Nation today. It's easy, 866-90-NATION, 866-90-NATION, or visit windownation.com. Schedule your free in-home estimate today. So we're stepping back, and we're going to look at some first things first. Hebrews 12 says, "Fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God." For those of us who fix our eyes on Jesus, to be a Christian at this moment in history is an incredible, joyful opportunity. Let's not waste it. Back to talk about that and more right after this. I'm Gregory Seltz. This is The Drive Home.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Another prominent politician has left the Democratic Party. Eric Johnson, mayor of Dallas, Texas, talked about joining the Republican Party. Central to his decision is his deeply held Christian faith. Mayor Johnson, a black man, said, "You sort of inherit the Democratic Party as a cultural heirloom when you're an African American. It sort of gets handed to you as part of who you are," which demonstrates Eric's decision was not made lightly. There's a growing list of elected politicians who fled the party, many citing the abortion issue. Over the years, it's become increasingly aligned with abortion until birth. That's a bridge too far for many women and men who, like the mayor of Dallas, are not willing to shelve their faith for political gain.
Follow us on Facebook at Life Issues Institute and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
This is Dennis Prager, and now a truly exciting new benefit. My monthly online video get-together for PragerTopia Plus members only. For an hour each month, get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. I'll be answering your questions. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at PragerTopia.com. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to PragerTopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
Jesus described a judgment day scene when some people will go before God talking about all the Christian stuff in their lives. And it's a day when he will say, "I never knew you." Have you admitted your sin and told Jesus that you were pinning all your hopes on him to be your savior from your sin? Or have you only been going through the motions? If you want to learn how to make that commitment, then call us at 888-NEED-HIM or go to chataboutjesus.com.
Don't risk losing the trusted news, traffic, sports, and weather you get from AM radio stations. It's time to make your voice heard. We need Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars. When internet and cell services are out, AM could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Your faith, your values, your life. Life-changing talk radio. 105.1 FM WAVA.
Don't miss Developing Dynamic Disciples with John Jenkins, Saturday mornings at 10:30, right here on WAVA.
For those who love contemporary Christian music, CCM Magazine is a must-read. Explore the latest redemptive music and the culture it impacts by starting your subscription today. Visit ccmmagazine.com.
Welcome back. This is The Drive Home. I'm Dr. Gregory Seltz. Glad to be here with you today. You know, we were just talking before the break, Hebrews 12, verse 1, fix your eyes on Jesus. And then it says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. He demonstrates this putting first things first attitude. Basically, when he's here on earth, living our life, dying our death as a judicial payment for our sins, he never loses sight of what's going on. It's for the joy of people like you and me coming to faith. He kept first things first. In fact, I love the Bible verse, seek first the kingdom of God. In Luke, he says seek first because he's talking to Gentiles, and Gentiles, again, this prioritizing type of thing. But in reality, what he was saying to them is seek only, because that's what Matthew writes. Matthew doesn't say seek first. He's talking to a Jewish audience, and he's saying seek the kingdom of God, period, as the only thing, and all these things will be added unto you. Prioritize. And watch how God can actually bless your life no matter what is going on in the culture around us. And that's really the question. You know, can we be that kind of joyous Christian at this time in history when we have to fight for basic freedoms just to be who we are? I mean, that's what we're battling on the Hill. We're battling people who actually don't believe the Christian worldview has a right to be publicly spoken in our country. That's amazing. Because the Christian worldview is foundational to all of our freedoms, even for those who are not Christian. Can we be joyful at this time in history when the moral teachings of the Bible are castigated as hate speech, when they are in reality these fundamental reflections of the righteousness of God and the essence of what it means to be human and to be virtuous? Yeah, it's amazing. Everything's turned upside down. Can we have joy when it seems that the price to share our faith with our family, with our friends, and even with whomever God brings into our life is more punitively personal than ever before? Can we have abundant joy? Yes. Because the source of our joy, the source of our identity, maybe we'll get into that in another program. You know, critical race theory, the one reason why it's wrong is because it seeks to root your identity in something that is a neutral trait rather than in the God who created you and the God who redeemed you. Your joy, your identity, your power, your peace, it comes in the one who created and who redeemed you. So first things first. And that's what should be then our source of conviction, our source of courage. You know, we do march to the beat of a different drummer, and we are out of step, but not out of line. We, in fact, are people who call the culture even back to the straight and narrow of God's good grace. So I love another C.S. Lewis quote today. You can't get second things by putting them first. You can only get second things by putting first things first. Then he goes on to explain, the woman or man who makes a pet the center of their life, in the end not only loses their human usefulness and dignity, but even the pleasure of dog keeping. The man who makes alcohol his chief good loses not only his job, but his palate and all power of enjoying the earlier and only pleasurable levels of intoxication. Even civilization will never be safe till it puts second. That immediately raises the question, second to what? And of course, the answer is faith, relationship to the God who created and redeemed you. And that's what you know as a Christian. That is actually what you have. And so it's the source of your joy. It's the source of your identity, your power, and your peace by putting first things first. I think I've told you this story, but as a young man, it's a time when I really started to get it. Because, you know, as a pastor, when you're starting to be a pastor, and I didn't want to be a pastor, you know, like when I was a young man. It was only after debating things at the University of Michigan when they were laughing at my faith and my science classes and things like that. And I started to try to not only defend, but share the gospel in the middle of this craziness. And as a young pastor, when I got out into the world and to try to live this life where you're a public expression of it so that other people might get to know Christ just because they get to know you. I mean, there's a lot of pressure there. And, you know, you're always wondering, am I doing a good job of even reflecting who Christ is to me, let alone the fullness of who he is biblically? And one of those opportunities when I was asked to speak at the Outback Bowl, and I've told you this story maybe, but it wasn't just a prayer, it was a devotion. And the Outback Bowl was a New Year's Day football game in Tampa, and it usually had the number two Big Ten and the number two SEC team played against each other. And Outback Steakhouse was the big sponsor, et cetera, et cetera. They played at Tampa Bay Stadium. And I was asked to give the devotion. I played on the Tampa Tribune basketball team, and one of the guys that was the head editor played on that team, and he came up and asked me, would you do it? Because he thought I'd do a good job. And I said, yeah, I'd be happy to. I didn't realize, again, the pressure. What would you say as a Christian to this gathering of people? They were not there to hear a sermon, for sure. They were just here to have lunch, to come and hear some speeches, and then go get ready to play a football game. And as I said, I struggled mightily with that because I thought I'd bitten off more than I could chew, and I was kind of worried about bombing, you know, in public with, you know, the newspaper people in the background. I think ESPN was there and all that. And then you've got the mayor and the Outback Steakhouse president and all those guys and the two coaches, etc. Anyway, it came down to this. There's a story in the Bible where Mary and Martha are meeting with Jesus, and Martha's all concerned that Mary just wants to sit at Jesus' feet. That's all she wants to do. And Martha's making dinner, and she's cooking, trying to make sure everything's beautiful for Jesus. And she comes finally and chastises Jesus and says, you know, tell her to help me. And Jesus says, Martha, you got so many concerns on your heart and mind, but Mary has chosen the one thing, and it cannot be taken from her. And so that's what I said to these football guys. I said, there's one thing in life that makes life worth living. Games like this worth playing, work worth doing, leisure worth taking. If you know the one thing in life, then what you do tomorrow will have eternal significance. If you don't know the one thing, even if you win tomorrow, it won't last. And then, of course, I asked, you know, who won last year's game, and nobody knew. So that's kind of what C.S. Lewis is trying to get across. He's saying if you know that one thing, the first thing, then all the second things find their proper place. But if you try to put second things first, you lose everything. And so the second things are important, but only as they properly relate to your relationship to God. And that's why the COVID things were so subversive and seditious. Because it was trying to say that the main things in life are secondary to what we're dealing with. It pitted two biblical truths against each other, love for neighbor versus love and worship of God. They were basically saying is your worship of God is secondary, it's incidental. And what the Bible says, once you lose the worship of God, you lose the capacity to love your neighbor as yourself. When you lose the tension between first and second things. You lose everything. Now, Chesterton said it this way. He said the charge against Christianity is that it's, on the one hand, too pessimistic. Right? It says we're 100% sinners. Oh, that's a miserable message. And then he says, but on the other hand, it's too optimistic. And we're 100% saints as a gift of grace in Jesus Christ. So it's true. In one sense, it's absolutely realistic. And there is no hope. And then it's absolutely optimistic. There's nothing but hope. But the hope is rooted in who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. Fix your eyes on him. So the danger is to conflate the two. You know, before God, on your own terms, this whole experiment is pessimistic. Because if this is merely about your best efforts and the best efforts of sinful, broken, depraved people who ultimately care for themselves first, and everything else is a distant second, then things aren't just pessimistic. They're hopeless. No matter what Google says, Facebook says, or Twitter says, algorithms will not save us. But when it comes to this experiment from God's point of view, what God has done, he's the one who has so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him. We're saved by grace through faith, and it's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Utterly, eternally optimistic and hopeful. Don't conflate the two. And always keep first things first. So Chesterton, you know, says, so the church is ultimate on both counts, as one can hardly think too little of oneself, and yet one can hardly think too much of one's soul. So first things, they must always come first. And that's why the church is fundamental to us and to our society. And that's why even relationships like family are so fundamental. Because in terms of relationship, that's a first things first type of thing as well. So Jesus is the one who challenges us today, especially as from the Word of God. We'll get back to some more news that you can use in just a minute, or news you need to pray about. But he's the one who challenges us. He says, I've come to give you life and to give it to you to its fullest extent. Put that first and watch all other things find their proper place. I'm Greg Sells. This is The Drive Home. Back in just a minute.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency on earth, and if you owe back taxes, the news isn't good. The IRS is raising the interest rate it charges on unpaid taxes, and further rate hikes are expected. Most people don't know it, but the IRS adds interest charges to your tax debts daily. So if you owe the IRS today, you'll owe even more tomorrow. And it doesn't stop until you get right with the IRS. The good news is getting right can start with one phone call to Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax relief firm. Optima's tax professionals specialize in the Fresh Start Initiative, a powerful IRS program that can save you thousands if you qualify. In fact, the experts at Optima have resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients. Call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-965-1433. 800-965-1433. 800-965-1433.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
The fact of pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at getethos.com. That's getethos.com.
WAVA now has a limited supply of half-price Christian school tuitions in the DMV area. Go to WAVA.com to purchase a half-price tuition for this fall before they're gone. Go to WAVA.com and click on the school bus. Half-price Christian school tuitions now at WAVA.com. Available for new students only while supplies last. That's WAVA.com. WAVA.com.
Hi, my name is Ryan Bourne.
And I'm Danica Bourne.
And we're the owners of South Coast Tax.
We started our company 10 years ago in an effort to help our fellow Christians experiencing tax issues resolve their matters by taking a simple three-step approach.
South Coast Tax are Christian-based tax accountants and attorneys that specialize in releasing bank levies, wage garnishments, and filing complex tax returns. We are the leaders in acceptance of offers and compromise with awesome results. We're also a small firm who will treat you like family, not just a number.
Call us today at 1-800-TAX-1176 for a free consultation, and we'll take the time to explain all of the programs that you qualify for in order to allow you a fresh start.
Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Call us today at 1-800-TAX-1176, and together, we can help achieve this goal by putting the IRS debt behind you for good. Again, that number is 1-800-TAX-1176.
Here's your exclusive AccuWeather forecast from 105.1 FM WAVA.
Tonight we'll see overcast skies. Expect a nighttime low of 58. Tomorrow mostly cloudy and breezy with a shower in spots. Tomorrow's high 73. Tomorrow night clearing skies, a low of 46. Thursday plenty of sunshine. We'll reach a high Thursday of 63. Plan with confidence. Check with AccuWeather.com often and download the free app today. With the AccuWeather forecast, I'm Drew Shannon.
And welcome back. This is the last segment of The Drive Home. I'm Dr. Gregory Sells. Great to be here with you today. Before we get to the last segment, here's another reason why I continue to recommend Sarah and Debbie Reynolds of Reynolds & Power Home Team with Keller Williams to all my friends. They did it again. Debbie and Sarah just sold Roger and Angela's home for $30,000 over the asking price in record time. And they did this by using their exclusive database of ready buyers. Sure, you can hire any agent. Chances are they will sell your home eventually. But here's the question. Can they get a lot more money than you think possible? It's all about what you put in your pocket when the home closes, right? And that's why I only recommend Debbie and Sarah Reynolds as the realtors for you. Reynolds and Power Home Team's top-performing home buyer systems and their years of experience are critical to have on your side when selling your home. They want to talk to you right now, so call Debbie and Sarah, 844-881-SOLD. That's 844-881-SOLD. Or visit DebbieHasTheBuyers.com. Well, in our last segment, we're still sticking with the theme that the Bible passages of this last Sunday foisted upon us. And that's kind of how it happens. You know, these verses just are out there and they hit you and you go, wow, what a timely verse. Well, that was what it was all about. Jesus is talking about his work and he said, I have come to give you life, to give it to you to its fullest extent. The sanctity of life. Now is the time for our culture to turn back to life. We've got to brush the euphemisms aside, the bumper stickers aside. We've got to see what it is we're engaging with. Our children are precious in and of themselves, not because we decide to value them. And that starts when people have sex with each other. The result of that act could be a beautiful child. Why have we demonized that? Think about it. We've demonized the family. We've demonized the child. And once you start to do that, once you start to classify certain innocent human life as not worth living, look what we can do to each other. Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit. Let's talk about Planned Parenthood and the billions that they're making on this barbaric procedure, and that's what it is. So are you ready for the fight for life? Good. Because Cal Thomas said in an op-ed on abortion in the GOP, said abortion is a moral, medical, and political issue, and Republicans can fight back on all three levels because they hold the high ground on each one. Now, I was just thinking about just trying to set this up because so much of what we read in the newspaper, so much of what is regurgitated to us on the news, so much of what's in entertainment it's a caricature. So just start to use your imagination. Can you imagine a world where baby parts are sold like parts of a car? Can you imagine a world where science labs demand stem cells from unborn healthy babies so they're born halfway, killed with a stab to the brain, and their cells are harvested for research so that others won't die? Can you imagine a world where there's an industry that makes billions by killing the most innocent among us, treating pregnant mothers like ATM machines, siphoning tax money against voters' will, making the process sound like a vacation trip on us when it's a nightmare that just begins when the baby's life is terminated? Can you imagine doctors who do nothing but abortion procedures all day? Do no harm? No. Do plenty of harm because it's big business. Can you imagine that more and more women are being tempted away even from the clinics to even more unsafe practices? Yes, a pill in the mail, a baby terminated in your bathroom. Can you imagine? Well, you don't have to use your imagination. That's what's happening right now. And if we don't seriously examine what we are doing to each other and the callousness that we're now starting to create over the preciousness of life, there's no telling where this death cult might go. You know, the notion of family has been corrupted in our culture. I just talked to you about the fact that our kids, even when they're young, are getting sterilized because they don't want to have families. The profession of doctors has been compromised. Politicians are raking in the cash. Abortionists are scaling their billion-dollar industry up. What's next? Well, that's where I think we have to say it stops here. Look at it for what it is. There must be limits to this. There are righteous limits to this. It's amazing. The pro-abortion opposition to life, they don't want any limits to this whatsoever. Safe, legal, and rare, baloney. Well, again, we come to grips with the God who created us, and you can't be human until you reconcile your life with the God who created you. And he said, I've come to give you life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. God is the author and judge of life. And I think we've got to come to grips with the notion that we're judged especially with what we do with the most vulnerable among us. Now, again, in that op-ed that Thomas wrote on the culture place we are in and the GOP's opportunity to be a voice, now whether they take that up or not, I mean, the Democrat side is fully on the death cult side. There's one, I think, House of Representatives person who's pro-life now. But again, I read you Jesse Jackson's pro-life op-ed in 1976. Please go back and read it. It's powerful. It's pretty much what we say. And yet somehow that's anathema now in your Democrat Party. But what Thomas says is, just as cities clear the street of homelessness when the head of states arrives so not to embarrass the mayors and the governors, he's talking about Harris' visit to an abortion clinic. He said behind her was a sign that appealed to reproductive freedom. And then he pointed out controlling the language is what's going on here. They're not really telling you what's happening, and they're not even showing it to you. They don't want you to see it. He even says homelessness is now described in some quarters as unhoused people. And so the whole point is that in this debate, get to the heart of what we're actually talking about. That's one of the reasons why we came to D.C., to advocate for sanctity of life for all, but it is coming to a state near you. So you got to gear up, get knowledgeable on this, make the case. Pro-life is pro-woman, pro-family, pro-dads, pro-science, pro-culture. We cannot continue on this libertine, love the one you're with no consequences, self-centered sexualization of each other that says damn the consequences, or even worse, kill the consequences. Why? Because life has always been a gift from God, and it's always to be cherished and shared. And so 2024 is a fulcrum year. All across the nation, there are people trying to enshrine the action of abortion in state constitutions, and they're not even telling you what it is. People, wake up. The violence that's being unleashed on the most vulnerable among us, it changes who we are as a people. You know, I was just thinking about this. You know, if you can watch an abortion and not be sick to your stomach, then that tells you where our society is at morally, and it's not good. When you can look at the bags of baby parts and not be nauseated that something has been lost about the soul of America, if this is acceptable. And I always thought it was interesting when Dwight D. Eisenhower, when they uncovered the camps in Germany, he told the soldiers to take pictures of the dead and the dying at the death camps. Why? So we wouldn't lose our humanity, and we would properly punish such inhumanity. And that way no one could deny what it is we're talking about. Well, that's exactly the opposite of what's happening in the abortion debate. No one actually knows. If you ask people, what is it that we're talking about? They don't really know. They just know it's a healthcare procedure, not for the baby. And what do we say when we're seeking to legislate the killing of children right up to the day of their birth? So Christians, it's time to take a stand for the baby's life, the mother's life, the father's life, and for society's sake. It really is that simple. And when people accuse you of being a single-issue voter, fine, because without the sanctity of life, what's the point of any of this? I think back even, you know, Dred Scott, they made the argument the same back in those days. They said, well, it's constitutional. The Constitution said that Dred Scott's life was not really worth living and couldn't be protected and valued. And so, you know, the party of abortion was the party of Dred Scott. And, you know, politicians, if they get their power by punishing people who cannot fight back, that is not the politician who has yours or anyone's interests at heart. This is the year. Be an advocate for life. Affirm the preciousness of human life as the key to virtually everything that matters. It's foundational to who we are as beings who are created in God's image. Today, our culture's at war with such a view of life, but it's also at war with liberty, justice, and tolerance. As noted by Francis Schaeffer in his book, Whatever Happened to the Human Race. I'm going to read this quote, and then we'll come back and talk about that and some positive solutions that you can start to do right now that are a blessing, even to those with whom we disagree. But Francis Schaeffer, in his book, Whatever Happened to the Human Race, said this: if man is not made in the image of God, then nothing stands in the way of inhumanity. There's no good reason why mankind should be perceived as special. Human life is cheapened. We can see this in many of the major issues being debated in our society today. Abortion, infanticide, euthanasia, the increase of child abuse and violence of all kinds, pornography, the routine torture of political prisoners in many parts of the world, the crime explosion, and the random violence which surrounds us each and every day. When the notion of life not worth living takes hold in a culture, look out. Well, this is the year when we can say this far and no farther, not just for our sake, but for the sake of our culture as well. I'm Gregory Seltz. This is The Drive Home. We'll be back in just a minute.
Hey, this is Norm, Service Manager at A-Action Home Services. For all your electric, plumbing, and heating needs, call 703-922-1900 so you too can say, problem solved.
The world is going to applaud any and everyone who is going to compromise. Any and everyone who compromised their faith just a little bit. Everyone who waters down the gospel so it can be palatable for the non-believers. But Jesus will reward you if you hold fast in the truth of the gospel.
Dr. Michael Youssef, teacher on Leading the Way.
God will protect you through the storms. God will guide you through the turbulent times of persecution. God will steady you and stabilize you during the time of testing. God will be your fortress. God will be your strong tower. when the man of lawlessness is revealed.
Passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth. You can learn more about Dr. Yusuf and Leading the Way at ltw.org.
Do you want certainty your home will sell without feeling stuck with two homes? Do you want the comfort of knowing your home is sold and you can move forward with the next step of your life? Wouldn't it be great if you can be guaranteed your home will sell without even having to list it and at the same time getting top dollar? This is Gregory Seltz of WAVA 105.1, and this is all possible through Debbie, Sarah, and Reynolds Empower Home Team with Keller Williams Sell With Certainty Program. My friends and realtors Debbie and Sarah will give you the satisfaction and comfort of a guaranteed home sale, knowing you didn't leave any money on the table. In the last 12 months, Debbie and Sarah have been able to help over 650 families sell their home, all while netting them $30,500 more on average. So call Debbie and Sarah Reynolds for a guaranteed home sale now. 844-881-SOLD. That's 844-881-SOLD. Or visit sellwithcertaintydmv.com. That's sellwithcertaintydmv.com to empower your home sale today.
From breaking news and weather across the country to insight from the brightest minds in conservative opinion, it's Salem News Channel, home to the biggest shows on TV, like Hugh Hewitt weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, followed by Mike Gallagher at 9. Join SMC, where facts are sacred, critical thinking is celebrated, and the pursuit of truth is unwavering. Watch Salem News Channel free now on Zumo Play. Learn more at snc.tv/Zumo.
Listen to Turning Point with David Jeremiah, weeknights at 9 on Talk Radio for the whole family, WAVA.
Listen to your favorite Christian programs anytime on the OnePlace app. Download and listen offline. Stream to your car or automated home device. Download OnePlace at Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
And we're back. This is The Drive Home. I'm Dr. Gregory Seltz. Glad to be with you. And we've been talking all day long about this verse where Jesus says, I've come to give you life and to give it to you to its fullest extent. God is the author and the perfecter of life. And yes, he is also the judge of it. And that's why we're talking in the last segments here about the opportunity that the church has to be a voice in culture, especially for the sake of those who are most vulnerable, because human life is precious in and of itself. You know, the whole nonsense about Christian nationalism, they're basically just trying to demonize this, because there are folks out there saying, if you believe that human beings have inherent dignity because God created them, that's Christian nationalism. No, that's the Declaration of Independence and the foundation of all of our freedom. It just shows you how far this craziness will go if we don't say this far and no farther. And one of the ways I like to look at it is to say there is no notion of a life, an innocent life, not worth living. So first of all, get the data of what is radical. The senator from Missouri, Josh Hawley, he argued Roe is bad, kick it back to the legislatures, and let moral people decide. Well, it is interesting that no one's talking about, what do you mean by moral? What are the moral perspectives for the taking of the life of an innocent child? There is no moral perspective to be able to do that. There is none. Now, someone says, well, what about the saving of the life of a mother? Or the same with rape or incest? Well, then you'd be saying it's the lesser of two evils. So if you protect the life of a mother by killing the child, well, that's still an evil thing, but, you know, keeping the mother alive is the more good thing to do when you have to make a choice. So lesser of two evils, that's the way we would discuss that. It's not saying that abortion is good there. But not even then, 99% of all abortions are for convenience. Sexual promiscuity with no consequences for the man or the woman. And it's even worse. It's the most misogynistic thing for a guy just to say, here's my $200. I'm done with this. No, that's your child too. And that's what we should be thinking about in the context of sexual practice. That's why in the Bible it says you should limit it to marriage, because then there's commitment to learn how to love, and then the child is this incredible blessing. So when the child suffers death for our convenience, what does that say about us? And where does the where does life go if the pro-life way of thinking about this is defeated? Kermit Gosnell and selling baby parts, like we talked before, the industry, euphemisms become public language, not direct talk. Most people aren't even talking about what is the action that we're saying is legal. No one's even talking about it. That's why, you know, when you go to Lila Rose and they'll have like a simulated move, a movie on it that illustrates what it is. Even just watching that, you'll go, oh my gosh, I didn't know that's what it was. That's why sonograms make such a difference, which is, again, why they don't want sonograms to be in abortion clinics, because the last thing they want is for the woman who's probably scared to death. She's probably been pressured by somebody. You know, every pro-life clinic that I work for said, we will fund whatever it takes to bring this baby to life. And then if you want to give it up for adoption, fine. If you want to keep it for yourself, fine. We won't even force you to do a certain thing at that moment, because we want you to do the right thing no matter what. But this notion that we don't care, that's just silly. That's not true. When you just walk into an abortion clinic and they don't give you any other options but to terminate the child, that's not caring. So we got to get past these euphemisms. Pro-choice avoids the issue, because pro-life is pro-science, and the science says that the child in the womb is a child. And so where does this go if the pro-life position is lost? Well, then again, we're not dealing with the reality of what we have chosen to do. If children can be disposed of because we just decide their life is not worth living because it inconveniences us and that they're somehow not productive to society, what about the elderly? Where does all this go? So a society is judged by what it does with the most vulnerable, and we can start to fashion the debate to say, no, all of our lives have inherent dignity, and we're all called to make the best of it. Every one of our lives is to be lived in a reconciled relationship with God, and then purposefully and morally and lovingly towards our neighbor. So a couple of things. What to do at this point, besides getting the data? Well, one of the other things, I came across an article on this. Did you know that? And this was Sarah Arnold, and it was in Town Hall. Planned Parenthood abortions is one of the top leading causes of death in America. Between 2022 and 2023, the anti-life clinic of Planned Parenthood, almost 400,000 abortions. And they even helped 33,000 women get transportation, travel support, and financial assistance to get rid of your children. Now, you compare that. The number one cause of death in America is 695,000 Americans died from heart disease, 600,000 died from cancer, 400,000 from COVID-19, and 225,000 from accidents. So 400,000, it's the fourth leading cause of death. And that's not even including the pill, what the pill is causing, because that's now up to 60%. And that's just mailed to people's homes. Planned Parenthood is big business, and its business is abortion, abortion, abortion. Period. And then on top of that, Planned Parenthood received $700 million in taxpayer funds, and they ended their fiscal year with $2.5 billion in net assets. How about just stop paying them government funding? Stop incentivizing this as a business. Stop using babies as a business model, and stop preying on women in crisis. And Planned Parenthood siphoned over $90 million from the Paycheck Protection Program, the PPP. They don't provide care for women. They provide abortion. Amazing. Who's the most radical? Now, most pro-life clinics are there. People are donating their time, counseling, and even finding ways to help the woman afford to bring the child to term. That's the way to move forward on this. And then also to start talking about what sex is, what marriage is, and get back to what all this can mean for us as a culture. You know, what to do about this? Pray for our country. This is a pro-life nation still, I pray, because I don't like where it's going if we're going to be a pro-death culture. Cal Thomas again said, hey, feature information about the free services at pregnancy help centers, interview people who've survived abortion and are happy to be alive, interview women who've had abortions who say they wish they had another choice, you know, that they were pressured by their husband, their boyfriend, or their parents, and then show ultrasound images of babies in the womb. That should be just basic 101. What are we doing here? And then I love what he said, that abortion is a moral, medical, and political issue where Republicans can fight back because they've got the moral high ground. Now, having the moral high ground means that you might not still be popular. Just because you've got the right answer doesn't mean it's the right that people are going to accept that. And we've got to demonstrate why it's right, why it's beautiful, why it's the way to go for our culture. And that's what, as I've always said about the March for Life, I love the fact that they take the narrative back. They decided we're not going to be defined as anti-abortion. We are pro-life, and we're going to be defined by what our message actually says. And so this is something we should be proud of, and we should be able to say it to anybody because it's a beautiful message. It's not a negative message. Pro-life, it honors God. It honors the family. It honors the community. It honors those with whom we disagree. It undergirds fundamental inherent dignity of all human beings. So even if you're a person who disagrees, I'm still saying you have inherent dignity. I'm fighting for that. I'm not going to let anybody who's innocent be deplatformed, dehumanized, or suddenly declared as a life not worth living. It tempers government abuse of people's lives and limits their involvement in people's lives because each person has intrinsic value. It's also pro-science, but again, the facts, data, science can't tell us what the moral thing is to do. That's even the more humane discussion of who are we? We're God's image people. We have a moral perspective. We have conscience, and we need to love one another and learn how to sacrifice for one another. So much to talk about, but this is the year, 2024. This is the moment where our culture is taking it back to the States and we're having a moral discussion about what this is. And right now, the side that is pro-abortion even to the point where the baby is born alive. And if it was supposed to be aborted, they say, well, that child should not have lived. Is that the kind of culture in which you want to live? And is that the kind of culture where you can be confident the state won't be the ravenous beast that it can become? The founding fathers understood that the one thing we didn't want to do is give the state these kinds of powers where it can declare haphazardly innocent life is not worth living. That's why we have a First Amendment. That's why we have religious liberty. That's why we have conscience. And that's why the sanctity of life is foundational to a civil, humane society. Get out there. It's the opportunity and the time to be God's people, not just for the sake of our family and our friends and our loved ones, but even for the sake of the culture. Till next time, much to think about, even more to pray about, and in all things, be confident in Christ alone. He is the one who came to give abundant life. Listen to him, trust his word, keep the faith, get to work. So in closing, till we see him face to face, speak the truth in love with humility and grace, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Till tomorrow, God richly bless you. Have a great day.
Listen to Turning Point with David Jeremiah, weeknights at 9 on Talk Radio for the whole family, WAVA.
Did you know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? Your station for life, 105.1 FM, WAVA.
Lives change here. You're listening to 105.1 FM, WAVA-FM, and HD1 Arlington. Life changing.